On the show today, I'm joined by Joe Kaufman from Engage and David Rolla from 22 Squared. We're going to talk about all things local marketing, how small businesses are being able to compete with the larger brands through coupon sites, check-ins, local listings, geo-targeting, affiliate marketing, and a whole lot more on this, the 24th episode of Marketing Elements Podcast. And we welcome to the podcast Joe Kaufman, who is the Vice President of Business Development and Marketing at Engage. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you.
And we have a return guest. I think that's our first return guest on the podcast, is David Rolla, Senior Vice President of Digital and Strategy at 22 Squared. Welcome back.
I feel honored. Thanks, Tim.
I just realized that today. I was like, wait a minute, you're the first return guest I've had. So, cool. Welcome, both of you. And the topic we're going to talk about today is local marketing. And we've seen an explosion of local marketing lately with social, couponing, check-in, mobile, everything going on in the world today. And now that local businesses are getting the ability to compete with bigger brands in ways we never have seen before. So I guess we'll kick it off first one with couponing sites and how those are really come into play, I guess, with the Groupons, Scout Mob, and such, with the local environment. So how do you guys see this has really changed the world of smaller business, local businesses today?
Well, I'll start. There are so many opportunities for local businesses to use digital mediums to promote their businesses now. And it's pretty exciting if you're a local restaurateur to be able to, for example, put in, you know, buy a Groupon or something like that and have a flood of people come into your establishment. It's also a huge challenge. So there are opportunities and there are great challenges, and we can talk about both of those.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think to Joe's point, I mean, it gives a smaller local shop the ability to, you know, reinforce, you know, value at the moment where that consumer is there. So if you're sitting in a pub, you know, across the street, Pub X, and they see that you've checked in via Foursquare, you can either get half off an appetizer. If you're the mayor, you might get an entree free every week. So it's giving you more, you know, talkable stories about things that you would do in your everyday life anyway. So it's helped amplify those local brands through, you know, advocacy of consumers who are already engaging with them.
Yeah, definitely. And one thing I think, too, with the, especially with Scout Mob, it's allowing you to find new places you didn't know about before. Because you'll see a deal for 50% off, and you're able to go, oh, let's go check it out. It's around the corner. So I think that's
absolutely
another good one. Because I've had friends go, you want to go so-and-so? There's a Scout Mob deal. And I'm going, no. Because I'm not big on Mediterranean food. And they're like, let's go eat. I'm like, no, let's not. You go.
And something like Scout Mob, it's a great company. But they're, I think companies like Scout Mob, the reason why Groupon was valued at, what was it, $6 billion that Google was initially offering for them, is because it's hard to scale a business like that in terms of growing those, and there's so many competitors in the space. I did a little quick survey of all of the couponing sites, and so there's Groupon, there's Living Social, Scout Mob, Guilt City, Buy With Me, Tipper, Juice in the City, We Give, We Get, Placecast. I mean, there's so many different Groupon competitors, and they all have their own variation or twist. But I mentioned quickly the challenge besides the benefit. The challenge with one of those group buying sites is that they can definitely flood a business with so much. And if the business isn't really truly prepared to serve those customers, they create, you know, negative equity in their brand versus positive equity. And I'll give you an example. I bought a Groupon that was a yard service where, you know, they would come and mow your lawn and you know, do all the edging and all that kind of thing. And I'm sure that this guy that owned the company probably had 5 or 6 crews and figured he would be able to service all the folks. But, you know, I kept trying to get my appointment to have my lawn done. And I finally gave up and emailed Groupon and said, you know, hey, I wasn't able to connect with this guy. And they refunded my money quickly because certainly Groupon doesn't want, those experiences to reflect poorly on them. But the point I'm trying to make is that small businesses need to also prepare for success when they're utilizing some of these techniques and tactics, such as the group buying or coupon sites.
Yeah, I think a lot of small businesses don't understand how much traffic they are going to get. I think they go, oh, we'll get a couple and not a lot, but I mean, it can be quite, I've heard stories like that too, where people just get inundated with the Groupon people and that's all they have for a while.
Yeah, I think the golden rule here is that service is always going to be king over any kind of traffic driving efforts, whether they're localized, national, or what have you. There's one thing that I do, I truly love about the sites like Groupon and Scout Mob, and I think it's the added sense of urgency. It's like something becomes 40% off and oh my God, I have to get it now. Right? It's a whatever clicks or goes off inside of us, and we feel like the deal's gonna go away or it's going to, be bought up by, the number of people that they need to execute on the deal before I get to get in the game, is huge. One other one that all the ladies here talk about, is Rulala, and they're addicted to it. Right. It's a sense of urgency, but going back to Joe's point, there's so many to choose from. Right. Like I honestly, up until about 3 weeks ago, I didn't know about Rulala. Right. I'm focusing my efforts on Groupon and Scout Mob, but I'm missing things. Right. So I think another, trend that you're going to see in this space, you're going to see it in all of digital this year, is going to continue to be is consolidation. Right? You're going to see the bigger fish, the more aspirational companies, absorbing some of these smaller ones. Right? So don't be surprised if Guilt City gets, absorbed by Scout Mob or Groupon or Rula, one of these guys, to just extend their presence. Right? It's the same reason why there's not, 12, equally, memorable sites like eBay.
Yeah.
Or Craigslist. The list starts off typically a little longer, and as the trends start to solidify, you start to see the smaller fish, making a pretty penny for themselves and being acquired by these other, mid-sized fish.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let's hope so, because there are too many right now to keep up with.
Are you starting your own coupon site, Tim?
No, God, no. Oh, no. That's even more work that I don't want to do. Oh, that would be a pain. So
why don't we talk quickly about some of the other, you mentioned in the intro, Tim, about some of the other venues that one could use for a local business in terms of advertising.
Yes.
I kind of had a list of additional ones: check-in apps, local listings, mobile sites, affiliate marketing programs, and geotargeting. I think geotargeting might be the first foray into local digital advertising for most, small businesses. When Google came out with their initial AdSense offering, it allowed businesses to say, I don't want to advertise everywhere in the United States. I want my Google ad to only show up in the Metro Atlanta area, as an example. And obviously, Facebook allows the same thing, Bing allows the same thing, where you could geo-target to a specific geography. I think for local businesses and small businesses, often geographic, targeting is probably the most important element that you could affect. Would you all agree with that?
Yeah, I agree. Especially, I work with a lot of small businesses lately, and every so often they get those, save $100 on Google AdWords from Google, and it's usually their first real foray into the marketing world. They'll be like, oh, what's this? And they'll go into it and not really know exactly what it is. And when you tell them, oh, here's what you can do, they're like, oh, cool. And you can set a smaller budget, and you can do it pretty much with any of the big ones. You can set a smaller budget and see what results you get from it that most businesses I know really like so far. So you don't have to spend by like an ad in the newspaper or something like that that costs a fortune and get virtually no return on. So I think that's a great one because, like I said, many companies don't really understand what you do with it or what you do in marketing. They're more concerned on running their business. So it's a way for them to get more customers and more people to see them.
I think that, geotargeting is a huge focus and should be a huge focus for everybody this year moving forward. But it also brings, you know, new challenges or new areas of focus, because if it's a geotargeting campaign through mobile, you know, the first step there is acquisition. You know, how do I entice my consumers, you know, to sign up for my mobile database so they can get that geofenced alert, you know, when they're in a 5-mile radius of my store or within the mall or just down the street from my pub. So I think there still needs to be some, you know, almost awareness, not just to the retailers, but to the consumers, what the value is, because, you know, we're reaching deeper into our consumers', you know, pocket, right? I mean, literally where their phone lives, and the preferences of consumers. I mean, email, I mean, you can check it, not check it, give them your fifth email address that you check once in a month, and you don't care about spam. But I think retailers really have to be focused on not only just the acquisition, but the value of the offers that are being delivered at that targeted and probably more frequent level.
So with that in mind, you're talking about part of the discovery process, right, where I potentially could discover your business when I didn't know about it already. Do you think that check-in apps could be a great way for a business that advertises with one of the check-in services, for example, or makes an offer with a check-in service? Do you think that could be a good way for people to discover your business if you're a local, you know, small business?
I think it's great, and I think it's also great for, you know, think of malls, right? I mean, every weekend people are clamoring to, you know, outlet malls or just the, you know, traditional, you know, shopping mall. But people are checking into, you know, here in Atlanta, they're checking into Lenox Mall, right? And I think that even these localized efforts have to, you know, drill down even further to customize what they show me, right? Don't show me David Rolo a Sephora ad, you know, show me a Banana Republic ad. And maybe you can make that delivery based off of previous check-ins that it's shown that, you know, I checked into Banana Republic, or it showed that, you know, I have some kind of affiliation, you know, with that brand to serve up the ones that are most relevant to me based off of my shopping.
Sure. No. It also could be a great, I think, great way that you could potentially promote. So we did a program with IHG Hotels that when somebody checked in using one of the check-in apps, we messaged back to them offering them an additional stay at that specific hotel at a discounted rate. So, you know, hey, thanks for checking in at Crowne Plaza. Here, you know, click this link for a 20% discount on your next stay. Well, we had, I think it was like a 30 to 40% click-through rate on that campaign, which is unheard of because, you know, we were messaging people on Twitter, back on Twitter, when they were using any of the check-in apps at that hotel. And, you know, you think about it, for that specific hotelier who is looking to incent their visitors, their guests, to come back for a second stay, man, that's powerful to be able to message to them when they're using check-in apps already. Or you think about when I walked by and used one of the local check-in apps, there was a coffee shop that was offering a coupon, or I think a free cup of coffee. And, you know, I never would have even noticed that coffee shop. But because they did that, they allowed me the chance to discover their business.
Yeah, that's happened to me, too.
I think there's room for growth in, you know, what I'll call hand and glove relationships too. You know, so maybe combinations of, you know, non-competitive services or retailers to work together to send them to each other. So if you think, if I check in to Hartsfield International Airport, you know, I'm just arriving here and I'm an out of towner. As soon as I check in, you know, Avis should be competing for my car, because, you know, truth of the matter is, you know, there's a lot of people who are traveling that they just want the deal. You know, they're not business travelers. They don't have any loyalty, you know, with whether they use Alamo, Budget, you know, Hertz or what have you. So that decision can be changed right there. If I check into Starbucks, you know, getting a dollar off my next coffee is pretty cool. But, you know, working with some kind of, you know, maybe a barter system with, like I was saying, non-competitive services, maybe I get a dollar off my dry cleaning that's right next door. Mm-hmm. Right, mm-hmm. And maybe when I go to my dry cleaner, I get a dollar off my coffee. Right,
so,
and
dry cleaners,
it's more. What's that?
I was just going to say, any dry cleaners listening to this podcast should look for their local coffee shop and cut a deal with them.
Right. It's this collaborative, you know, I don't know, I want to use buzz terms like crowdsourcing, but I mean, you collaborative, you know, business relationships to keep people in the community. Right, so you drive it up a level, right? The old ways of the barter system that, you know, it was just, that made you feel good about hanging out in a certain area or locale, whether it be, you know, Midtown here in Atlanta or Buckhead or, you know, the Highlands. When you get some of the group of those proprietors together, it might be a little bit more powerful than just one guy in the Highlands running a scout mob ad.
Yep. Well, true. I'm going to go ahead and take credit for this new coin, this new phrase that I'm about to coin, which is cube sourcing.
Nice.
So that's biz sourcing, if you prefer. Biz sourcing versus crowdsourcing.
Yeah, I like
there
it.
Yeah. New buzzword.
I expect my 10% check at the end of the day, though, Joe.
Okay.
Or at least a spicy Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Yeah, well, I can make that happen.
Well, you can still get a biscuit.
We got into mobile a little bit, but I think there's something to be said for making sure that local businesses are well listed in local listings. So, you know, they're the Yelps of the world, they're the Urban Spoons if you're a restaurant. There are Google has a local listings section so that when you do a keyword search on, say, like a Google map, and you find you're finding a hotel, and you do a search for restaurants nearby, if you don't list your local business in Google, then you potentially risk not being found when somebody's doing that kind of search. So I don't know if you guys want to talk about local listings and how powerful they could be for a small business.
Well, no, with Urban Spoon, out here, I live out in Marietta, and for those not in Atlanta, it's the burbs. I found quite a few new restaurants because I'll just sit and play with it. Because all you have to do is just shake it, and it'll come up with a new restaurant. And I found, like, four in the area that I didn't even know were here before. And they're in the shopping centers that you go to, like, Avenues, West Cobb here. There's, like, two restaurants there that I didn't even know were in there. So I think Urban Spoon has been a lot of fun to play with and find new places to go that are nearby.
So if you're not a restaurant and listing in Urban Spoon, then they're going to miss out on business. So.
Well, that's when I'm bored, and we're like, what do we want to eat? Okay, let's shake. I'm like, oh, look, here, let's go here. So that's just because you know the big ones, but smaller ones that get listed, I didn't even know were there. So it's allowed me to find some new ones.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things here to mention is that, you know, first of all, if anyone is listening who still prints the yellow pages, just please stop delivering them in my house. They sit in the rain for 6 months before I throw them out. I mean, it drives me a little bit kooky that people still feel that there's a big market for that. Take your budget for that and invest in Urban Spoon, invest in Yelp, invest in, you know, City Search. You know, it's kind of a running joke in our house. When my dad comes to visit, you know, he's like, "Well, let's order pizza." And by the time he's halfway walking down the hall to the closet to get the yellow pages out, you know, I've already ordered it and started tracking it with only mushrooms on the right hand side from Domino's. So it's technology's enabled us to do a lot more things, you know, faster, smarter, and better. And I mean, to that point, the Urban Spoon's great, but I mean, I'm waiting for someone, and maybe it's there and I just haven't uncovered it yet, but I mean, bring that into Facebook too, because you know what, I care about proximity, but you know, there's three or four people, you know, Chris Tuff here in our office, he's a foodie, I'm not, but I still like good food. Right, so I want to listen to what the foodies have to say in my social circle, you know, in my friend set, and say, "Oh my goodness, if you're in Atlanta, you should go to Wisteria," you know, or "Have you tried that new place?" You know, Holman and Finch, you know, and I'm like, "No, what's the deal on that?" I can have that whole conversation in Facebook and head over there later today, you know, and I would hope actually that, you know, even if they're being tagged in that conversation, that those retailers, you know, start to play and incentivize, you know, that healthy conversation of maybe I should go there tonight with an offer or a deal. And I think that integration level, I think it's going to be truly, truly fun to watch.
I agree.
Absolutely. So the one I had on my list was affiliate marketing. My thought on that was, I was mentioning to both of you that my last two tennis rackets I bought on Amazon.com, but I actually ended up purchasing them through Midwest Sports, which is just a sporting goods store that's, I don't even know where they're located, somewhere in the Midwest, but they have managed to sell a tremendous amount of merchandise through their affiliate relationship with Amazon. And I know that eBay and several other sites do affiliate programs, so I don't know if either of you have a perspective on how local businesses could potentially sell globally, or at least nationally, through affiliate relationships.
Yeah, actually, one other site doing it is actually Sears is doing affiliate marketing, where I've gotten, actually, the microphone I used for this podcast for, like, what was it, 40% off through affiliate marketing as opposed to buying it through regular. I was just bored and searched Sears one day. I was like, I'll search it. And one of the companies was selling it for $50 off what it normally costs. And since then, a couple of companies I've come to realize that I bought my new iPod FM transmitter for the car through them. So it's allowed me to become sort of finding a new business, but being also sort of loyal to them because they have good prices and good delivery. So anytime I see their name pop up on a search, I just buy from them. So it's allowing a lot more companies to get out there, and I think more and more companies are starting to do it because they can carry more products for their customers, and they don't have to warehouse it. They don't have to do anything with it other than just take the order, get their cut, and send it on.
I think it reinforces, too. I mean, I think from a consumer perspective, Joe, your story with looking for the tennis rackets, you know what you were looking for. You probably demoed them at a local store, and now you just don't want to, pay the extra $30, $40, $50, by going to, a big box retailer. So I think it reinforces that, consumers that know what they want can find the best value through these affiliate programs.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you just brought up one other thing that I just thought of that's pretty interesting. Something like a Shop Savvy, where you could scan something that's local and it tells you other stores in the area that carry that same product potentially for less. So perfect example was I was shopping for an uninterrupted power source. So one of those things that you plug in that if your power goes out, then whatever's plugged into this thing, won't immediately die. And I was in an Office Max or Office Depot or Staples, I can't remember which of the three, and I scanned the barcode on the UPS that I was, considering for purchase, and found out that there was another store locally that carried the same thing for $25 less. And so I was able to, go, instead of giving the money to this big national retailer, I was able to give it to a local business that actually had the same product for less, based on discovery through an app like Shop Savvy. So it definitely pays to list your content in, I think we're all in agreement that listing your content in as many places as you can be a benefit. But you also have to be smart about how you do it so that you're changing that content to adhere to the format and conventions of the channel with which you're using. Would you all agree with that?
Yeah.
Most definitely. Most definitely. I think with everything that we're talking about here today, all three of us, we're in the business. You go down to that mom and pop shop, you use the dry cleaner or the coffee shop experience that isn't the big, national brand. The biggest challenge is making this digestible, making it a turnkey, solution, or at least making it, the communication of what we're trying to discuss, even here today, more Peter Rabbit English, simplified kind of Mother Goose speak that says, this is really what we're trying to tell you. You can amplify your presence in other places and sell your wares. I mean, it's the same as globalization, it's localization, right? And it's just, bringing people closer into the communities that they're already active within. But I think we got to make it simple for them to adopt it.
Yeah, working with small businesses, they really don't get, you explain things to them and they kind of get that glazed over look, like, what are you talking about?
Well, and yeah, I mean, So I'd say I'd ask the question of each of you. So then if you're a small business, and let's use a hypothetical because, you know, it may vary from type of business to type of business, but let's say you're a restaurant owner or a bar owner in a city, you know, like Atlanta, and you want to dip your toe into local marketing, what's the first thing you would try? What's the second thing you would try?
First of all, call Tim Goldman at 555. No. you know, I think you have to start, you know, and maybe this is wrong, but it's like maybe you have to start where there's the least risk. You know, and I know things are changing, and I know, you know, other players are bigger, but I got to tell you, just registering your business on Foursquare, there's still a good amount of people using it. You can even check first, you know, online to see if people have checked in your establishment to gauge, you know, if it's, you know, even being played with in that area. But, you know, offering, you know, a mayor, you know, status of a free something, if you're a mayor, it's free. Right, so start off with the low cost barriers to play in this space, and as you start to prove value, maybe, you know, mature up into a Groupon where 50% off for a dinner at your location, or mature up to, you know, geo-targeting, you know, to either mobile device or banner ads or social ads. But I think it has to be a stair-step approach, in my opinion.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think I would start off with Foursquare and probably Google AdWords just to get it going.
Yeah, I mean, Google AdWords, I'd probably put on the top of my list, actually. It's probably the simplest way to go. And there's so many great tutorials that Google puts out there. You know, we talk about the Peter Rabbit English. I mean, you can sit through one of those 15-minute pieces and at least feel confident that you're not going to waste your $500 that month on the way you place your ad.
Yeah.
Yep. I would say I would start with local listings. Like, you know, Urban Spoon and Yelp, and I would do one of the coupon sites, and I would be prepared for that. I'd be prepared for the onslaught, but, you know, sticking your business on ScoutMob or doing potentially a Groupon, as long as you're staffed appropriately, if you want quick bang for your buck in terms of driving people into your establishment, you know, and in ScoutMob's case, I think you could expect a flood the day that you launch the Scout Mob, but the deal is then good for, I think, 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, it is.
So it potentially allows you to have a sustained lift in business at a fairly relatively small cost, and the advantage is that you're widening your net in terms of the ability for people to discover your business that may not have known about it otherwise. So, to me, that would be a great, you know, in terms of a quick hit without needing to learn any technology, without needing to, you know, that's a great way you can drive additional traffic. And that would potentially apply for a dry cleaner. That would apply for, you know, a barber. That would anybody that's offering services locally, those sites can be, windfalls for you. But you have to be prepared. Because certainly, you know, if you launch a Groupon deal for your restaurant and you are not prepared for the hundreds of people that might come in on that specific night and you don't have the staff to support it, you're going to, as we started the call, create a negative impression as a first experience for these people.
Yeah, I mean, April 14th is fast approaching, so I'm just waiting for that H&R Block 50% off deal on Groupon.
But no, you have till the 17th this year.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Do you think that they're giving you extra 3 days? Do you think they're going to offer that on the 14th?
Yeah, no, not at all. Not at all. Wishful thinking.
Yeah, that would be good, though. I've already done my taxes, so I'm very happy. Yay. Although I won't say what my refund is. It's not worth it, but whatever. So, cool. I guess that'll wrap up our conversation on local marketing. I'm sure there's a lot more we can talk about soon. So we could take each one of these into an entire show about each of them because it's ever-changing market. So I want to thank both of you for coming today and being on the show.
Hey, thanks, Tim. Hey, Joe, if someone's looking for you quick online on Twitter, what's your Twitter handle?
My Twitter handle is Gumbo Show Joe.
Yep.
And the reason for that is the topic of another conversation in another day.
And where can
hey, listen, I'm an avid listener, so watch out.
And where can they find you, David?
At iRollo.
So, yes, follow both of them. They're both fun to follow on Twitter. So, thank you again. And we'll have them back on soon. So, David will be a three-time guest. So, maybe our first one. So, enjoy your day. And thank you again, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Marketing Elements Podcast. You can reach me at tim@marketingelementsblog.com. You can find us on the web at marketingelementsblog.com. Look for us on Facebook or find us on Ning. It's marketingelements.ning.com. Thanks again, and we'll have another podcast out to you very soon.